From WHQR Public Media, this is The Newsroom. I'm Ben Schachman. Thanks for joining us. On today's show, I'm sitting down with new Hanover County Commissioner Leanne Pierce to talk about her thoughts and goals as the county's budget negotiations move forward. We asked Pierce about her thoughts on where the tax rate should go and ways to make the county more efficient, including calls to eliminate DEI and have the endowment step in to support some previously county-funded programs. This is our unedited interview recorded on the afternoon of Thursday, March 13th at Pierce's new Hanover County Commissioner's office. All right, Commissioner Leanne Pierce, thank you very much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Or I should say having me here in your office.
And thank you for coming to my office. We got a meeting right after this, and so it's nice to have you on location.
So I wanted to talk to you about the budget process that's going on with the county right now. We're kind of in the middle of things, so people should understand that a lot of the stuff we're talking about, it's not set in stone, and you five commissioners haven't seen everything yet. There's still some stuff that the staff need to fill you in on. But some of the big picture stuff's been laid out. I think I want to start at the top. I've heard from a lot of people who are a little freaked out because they've seen the reval numbers.
A lot of people are freaked out because they've seen the rebound numbers.
So we're talking somewhere in the 65% increase on average and that's for everything, commercial, residential properties. But I think I've heard from people who are freaking out because they think that their property tax bill is going to go up by 65%.
Correct. And I think that is and I was just pulling out my notes so we'd have these exact numbers. And, of course, we know that the beach towns, Wrightsville Beach being the highest, 77%. Carolina Curry Beach, 73%, which is higher than the average for New Hanover, which is 67%, which we expected. I expected to see that. I mean, we all knew that 4 years ago, what were we in, 2021, 2020, COVID, and that's, we know that's when there was a real seller's market.
Oh, yeah.
And you couldn't buy a property. I mean, there were multiple offers on everything. Now the tables have turned quite a bit, and that is, mainly from the price increase, the demand for the property. And then, we're looking at higher interest rates. We're looking at inflation and things that people are stepping back a little bit from those properties. So we have seen a slowdown, but that is when the property's changed in value so much.
So the big numbers that we've heard batted around, and I'm doing this every time I interview a commissioner, so people listen to one that they'll get. Hopefully get some of the message. But, the property tax rate right now is 45 cents on $100 of value. Mm-hmm. And if we were to keep that, right, that would mean a huge increase for people's property tax bills and a lot more money coming into the county. Most people agree that that's not the right thing. The tax rate should come down. It's about how much should it come down?
So Ben, I don't think you will find anybody from our manager to our commissioners who will tell you they want to keep it at 45 cents.
Exactly. So, I mean, in a perfect world, if we hadn't been dealing with 4 years of inflation, it could come down to, I think my number is 28 cents. But that would be if we hadn't had
29 cents revenue neutral.
Yeah.
Yep, I'm looking at it right here.
So for people who, talk about revenue neutral, that would be it. But as County Manager Chris Coudray has pointed out, there's been about $68 million a year in inflation. So I think the dream number is somewhere around 36 to 37.
36 cent is what he and staff are proposing. I suspect you will see commissioners try to negotiate that down. That's my intent. If you tell me it's 36, then I know it's probably less than that is your real number. So at 29 cent is revenue neutral. I mean, that we have to know that the county has also seen the same inflation. I mean, we have cost of living increases for employees. We have two new fire stations. We have at least two libraries under construction. We have a lot of things that we also have to pay for. So I don't know exactly, but I think there's a happy medium somewhere between 29 and 36 cents.
Gotcha. And just so people know, we're not talking about penny poker. Every penny we're talking about here is around $8 million.
Yeah. So it's interesting that I don't think a lot of times that I was going to try to find you one other statistic in my paperwork, because right now we are number 16. So in our tax rate, so that's not so bad, but we could probably find ourselves in a little better tax rate position.
Yeah, and part of the reason I wanted to have these conversations with you and your fellow commissioners is that I still hear from people who are still pissed off from 2021 when we did the last reval. Property values went up, and the county reduced the tax rate, but not to revenue neutral, and told people they were cutting taxes, but then people got their property tax bill, and it had gone up
more.
And it was more. And so if I'm a homeowner, I'm not a bureaucrat. I don't do budget math. I just look at my tax bill. I look at the bottom line of my tax bill and say, that's how much I owe.
So let's talk about that. So since we have a second, let's explain how that works. So it is per $100 of your value. So your value is divided by 100, and whatever that comes out to, you multiply times your tax rate. So revenue neutral essentially means that you don't pay any more money. That the tax rate is adjusted to where you continue to pay the same amount that you've always paid. So you're right. If it were to stay 45 cents, it would be astronomical increase. I said we do not want to burden our citizens with. I can tell you that. I would never vote for that. It just wouldn't happen. Maybe 36 is ambitious on the part of staff. I know that I think we could do better.
Yeah.
I think we can do better than that.
So this is something I've asked commissioners about in the past. I'm curious how you think about this, is the budget is complicated. One time in my life, I've seen the line item budget that's at the end of the year, where it's basically the receipt for everything they've bought down to the staplers, you know, the stuff that, you know, how much Perrier Chris drinks in a year, you know, everything, right? You can only really get that at the end of the year looking back, but it is massive and it is very hard to go through. And so most commissioners, most boards that I've covered most years do rely on county staff to come to them and say, here's what it will cost to run the county government. And there's a fair amount, I would say a fair amount of trust put in county staff to say, you know, this is what we need to do it, and not a lot more, you know, to run a tight ship.
So you're exactly right, and it would be massive. Even when I came from Carolina Beach, that's much smaller, just minute compared to New Hanover County budget. You never saw the nuts and bolts. It's very difficult to get to the nuts and bolts. Depending on staff.
Yeah, what was your like annual
budget? Gosh, I want to say back then it was maybe $45 million, and that was with the enterprise fund and with the general budget.
Yeah, so more than 10 times that.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's a lot.
So it is massive, and it's the way the budget is presented, and you really do rely on your staff. So that's when, you know, sometimes you just go, and I'm pushing paper right here at Ben, this doesn't work, come back with something else.
Yeah.
I don't know what you're going to come back with, but this is not the answer.
I have joked with other commissioners that, you know, I have a general manager, and then my general manager has a boss, which is a board, and so our GM delegates, and he sort of lets us put together a budget, and we bring it to him, he brings it to the board. I think there are some budgets I would bring to him where he would say, no.
Right, just, you don't even have to explain it to me, but this isn't it.
This won't work.
Go fish. Bring me something else.
So even though that is, you know, for people to understand, there is sort of this bottom-up and then top-down system, are there places where you suspect maybe the county could be more efficient?
I suspect there is. I can't put a finger on what that is, but I can tell you what I don't want to cut is our school budget. I want to make sure we have the best education for our children in New Hanover County. And that, as you know, is a big chunk of our budget.
It's significant, yeah.
It is significant. I don't want to see us have to go out for a school bond. And I think that, and I know we're going to get into this and talk about the endowment, but there's a lot of folks here in New Hanover County, and I'm probably pretty much online of being one of them, that believes that as rich of a county as we are, that the endowment should pick up some of those things so that the taxpayer doesn't have to pay more money. I'm not going to sacrifice on safety. I don't want to sacrifice when it comes to police and fire. I mean, we have to have those things. Those are things that we have to have in place. So really, there's a lot going on in New Hanover County. We have a lot of mental health issues that we need to work on with our citizens and make available. Those are some of the things that I want to see the county really continue to work on. But schools, number one, public safety, that can't be cut.
Yeah, so I know the school is still working through their budget. I actually talked to Superintendent Dr. Barnes this morning.
That's my next meeting after you.
Is all right. Well, then we're on the way. But yeah, it looks like it'll be, you know, from somewhere around $3,700 a student to somewhere over $4,000. That's kind of what they're asking. I mean, you guys have to work through that.
And the numbers say that the numbers for public school enrollment decreased.
Yeah.
But it's costing us more, even though there's less children.
So you got cost of living, and then there's some, you know, potential ongoing costs like metal detectors, and mm-hmm. I know safety is a big concern.
Mm-hmm, sure.
So you mentioned the endowment. I want to talk about that for a couple of reasons. One is there's been a lot of coverage, including by us, about the condition of New Hanover High School. Mm-hmm. People have some very, you know, fond memories of that. You've got board of commissioner members who are alumni. But a lot of people in the public, you know, went there or have, you know, it's a part of the downtown.
It's area. Emotional.
It's emotional. Mm-hmm. And I know there's going to be a tough decision about whether to replace it or to fix it up. It's over 100 years old, so that's going to be a sticky one. Either way, that's going to be expensive. And I bring this up because just this week, the endowment, the New Hanover Community Endowment, made a grant to the aquarium. Which
$7.5 million.
Which people have noted is a little bit of a pivot for them. Earlier on in their history, the endowment was not making direct grants to government agencies for capital needs. And so some people have suggested, well, if they could support something like that for the aquarium, could they support something like helping to rebuild / repair New Hanover High School for the county?
So let me first. Well, you know I'm an aquarium fan. You know that is. It is my understanding the number one visited aquarium in North Carolina.
It's a good aquarium,
and it's a wonderful aquarium. I'm a biology major, science girl from day one. So I love that kind of thing, and I think that is something that I'm glad they're investing in, and I'm glad that the state is investing in. And I want to see our children and our schools visit there and get excited about our sea life. I think that's a wonderful thing. So I have to give that a rubber stamp. I like that. It's a winner all the way around. But I like infrastructure. So capital improvements, those type of things, is what I would like to see the endowment invest in. It's hard to invest in sustaining jobs and positions. But when you invest in actual infrastructure projects like that, it's there forever. So I do think that is something that the endowment board should really highly consider is possibly the New Hanover High School. You know, we haven't got that study back yet that is going to tell us, we hope, that what we need to do there. But I understand that should be in the next couple of months.
Yeah, I will be surprised if it is not nine figures. I think it is going to be a large number. And I know from talking to the district that their overall needs, now not all these are chronic, not all these are saying we need to do it this year, but there's hundreds of millions of dollars of projects that they would like to do.
And then where do you put the kids, the students?
And they need a new school in River Lights. There's a talk of another middle school. So, I think I've heard from some of your fellow commissioners that they would maybe like to see the endowment in the room for some future budget talks, maybe not this year, but maybe in coming years, because there are some real needs, and the endowment has every year a more financial horsepower to do some of this stuff.
Absolutely. I mean, they have the money to do it, and I think I personally believe those are the kind of things that they should be investing in. I think a school bond – I understand the whole school bond thing that's coming back, but I'm not – if we had to have a school bond, I would be in favor of it, but I don't want to see that just yet. I want to see us exhaust every other measure before we put another tax on our citizens.
That is fair. You know, I guess the one difference there is that at least there you can put on the bond and let the people vote up or down on it.
Right. Yeah. And quite honestly, I think you and I both know a whole bunch of people who are struggling and they cannot afford. That's why these reevals, I think, hit so hard. Because people, I know folks that aren't going out to dinners anymore like they used to. They're not traveling. They're not doing the things. That's why you see a lot of the sales tax numbers, I believe, down. They're just not spending the extra money that they used to spend because they don't have it. You know, you can't go to the grocery store and walk out for less than $50. Well, a loaf of bread is, what, $5? I mean, it's crazy.
It is crazy.
I mean, and you got a family, for me, it's just me. You know, my children are grown now, but what if you're married and you have a couple of children to feed? Yeah. That's a lot.
I like to make fresh pasta, and I now joke that it is millionaire's pasta because it takes seven eggs.
There you go. I mean, it's tough out there.
Yeah.
It's tough out there, and I think that when we're doing these budget talks and talking about what tax rate it's going to be, we need to remember the average citizen that we are representing.
So I can't help but notice on your desk there's the non-county agency applications. These are the nonprofits at the county.
I see that, and I have not looked at that yet, so I'm sure that's why it's sitting there.
So I won't go into details about any individual grant, but I have heard it suggested, including by Commissioner Scalise, that at some point perhaps the endowment should take the $1.6 million in annual nonprofit funding off of the county's hands and take it over the endowment. I've talked to some people in nonprofit world who aren't especially concerned if there's some guarantees of stability and continuity.
Reoccurring.
Yeah, and I think some nonprofit folks are worried that if you guys just kick it to the endowment, that, you know, if things are a little rocky for a year, sometimes that can mean losing some good staff. I mean, they really do reply. Their budgets are pretty tight a lot of the times.
I understand that, and honestly, I have to agree to some point with Commissioner Scalise on that. I would like to see the endowment pick those things up. It's hard on the county, and we have a committee that this goes through. I mean, we need to be focused on schools. We need to be focused on public safety. We need to be focused on the other health and human services and the things that counties do. This is hard for us to do a lot of the nonprofit stuff because there's always more and new nonprofits that need money. I'm not saying we're going to get rid of it. I'm not saying we're not going to do our fair share, but yes, if they could pick it up, that sure would make our job a lot easier.
Yeah. So I do want to talk about the other thing that Commissioner Scalise suggested as a cost-cutting
measure. Oh, I'm scared to hear it. Go ahead.
Here we go. This was his suggestion that the county do away with his DEI department.
I was there. I heard it.
Yes. So he has philosophical reasons for it and financial reasons for it. $600,000 is sort of the ballpark cost of the DEI department. Is less than 1%. But it is money that the county could potentially shed. What do you think about that?
Well, here's what I think. I think it's a very sensitive subject. I think it's a sensitive subject on both sides, whether you're Republican or Democrat or neither. I think, let me just say this. All people should be created, and they are created equally, but they should be treated equally. It doesn't matter if their race or their gender or their any of those things. Should not matter. So in my mind, there's already laws in place that protect that. Now, I know that DEI does some other things. So I hear from people that say, well, you're racist if you don't believe in DEI. You know, and then I hear from other people that say, this is ridiculous. So what about this, a white man, where does he fit in? I'm walking the line on the conversation with you right now because it's a hard decision for me. But do I think it's too big? Straight up, yes, I do. I think it's too big. I think it could be smaller. I think that Linda does a fantastic job. I think that we can figure out what is that. I mean, is that an HR thing? I always thought that was kind of an HR thing, you know, in equal employment.
Yeah, you're talking about Linda Thompson, who's the county's DEI officer.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I have heard it suggested that many of the things that are good about DEI have historically been done by HR departments. I've heard from people who work at companies that have really great corporate culture, and they have better diversity because it is a cool place to work. It's a good place to work. And the county is a little different because I think a lot of people, when they think of DEI, they're thinking of the corporate workplace. So the county, you've got that. You have a huge workforce that you have to manage.
Sure.
You need HR.
2,000, I think.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But then you've also got sort of the public-facing stuff, the outreach stuff. So I think that's where people get into the nitty-gritty. And again, you're totally right. I hear some very strong opinions from both sides. So I don't envy you having to pick a side on that.
Well, I don't think that. I just think that as a department, it may be not a whole department. I don't know how many people's in there now, maybe six. I know the budget is $600,000. Yeah. But I think that could be something that could be handled easily through HR. And but let me just say, I ran a business for 30 years, and somebody applied for a job. They said, I could care less if you're purple with polka dots. Just show up and let's do the job. I hired a male housekeeper one time. They said, you can't hire him. He's a guy. I said, why? I'll take him. I'll take anybody who wants to go clean rooms. You know, I wish that we had application process where they didn't ask your race or your sex or any of those things, just your qualifications. Even when you apply to, you know, colleges and different things, you know, why does it have to be based on our percentages, whether they've been met or not?
Yeah, I mean,
And, you know, there's also a reverse to that. What was it? One of the universities said we're not going to accept any more Asians because we have too many Asians.
Yes. I mean, I think one of the critiques I've heard is that if you create a quota, then you end up in a situation where there's a perverse incentive to not hire on the merits. I don't think that means that the county is hiring, just to be blunt, I have seen no evidence that the county is hiring people of color, black women, black men, because they want to hit a certain number. But it is, I mean, that does seem to be the issue, is that were there people who were turned away because they weren't helping hit that number? Right. Yeah.
No, as a female, I would be considered somebody in DEI, which not, right. I really shouldn't be, because let's take that. What are women? 50%, 51% of the population, I don't know, 49, so 50-50, yeah. You know? So that would mean that, this was before Stephanie came, I said, well, so I told the guys, I said, so that means half this board should be women.
Yes, and for the record, the county says they do not do that. They are not hiring.
And I would be against doing that.
Based on race.
Based on race or sex.
But I do think that it has provoked people, to say the least. But I will point out, though, I mean, it is not the biggest expenditure. You know, I hear from more people about education spending and public safety spending.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like sometimes and we did get down in the weeds with it, but I just feel like sometimes the more you do some of this stuff, the more division it creates. I want us all to get along. Yeah. You know that my daughter-in-law is African-American. I've been upfront about my granddaughter. Beautiful, wonderful. Why can't we just see everybody as people? You know, why do we have to see them as color?
I mean, honestly, that's a fair question. I do think it depends on your personal set of circumstances. I know people who still feel like, because of who they are, whether that's being a woman or a person of color or being gay, whatever it is.
Right. Gay, transgender, whatever.
Sure.
Who cares?
They feel like they don't get a fair shake, or yeah, that there are, especially once you get into a workplace, where they feel like there are times where they're elbowed out of the conversation or passed over because of, you know, of things that people just think about them based on who they are instead of focusing on their merits. I can say personally, I've been through some trainings that I thought were silly. Mm-hmm. And I've been through some trainings where I've seen like some of the, no offense, but to the boomers who are listening, but the boomer generation, where they're like, oh yeah, maybe I do that. You know, sometimes people do need a little hip check, mm-hmm, to correct mm-hmm them. So I think that's what I hear about that.
Yeah. You know, and let me just say for the record, I don't care if somebody is straight or gay or transgender or white or black. Doesn't matter to me at all. I care about you being a good person and treating people right and contributing to society in a positive way. I mean, we are all imperfect people just living in this world together. And how we figure out how to get along is should be our number one.
Yeah, if we can get to getting along, we'll be doing pretty well.
Well, if we just start treating each other like we want to be treated.
That's a good start. So I do want to ask about the public safety spending side, too. In general, I don't hear a lot of calls for, at least not recently, for defunding public safety. It's been a while since I've heard anyone use the phrase defund the police. But you guys did get a little bit of sticker shock last go around from the sheriff's office because of the cost of overtime. And that has to do with recruiting and retaining. That's not on Sheriff Ed McMahon. That is every law enforcement agency I've spoken with.
Same back when I came from my little town. We could not retain police officers. They often were poached by New Hanover County or
yes,
other people.
They were.
You know, other agencies.
Actually, I remember talking to Carolina Beach PD about that and saying, you know, there's got to be something we can do to keep someone on the force long enough to train the next round of people.
It's hard because they go through BLET and then we think they're coming one direction and then they get poached. And I say poached in a friendly way, you know, to a better position. You know, I see quite a few of the officers here in the county that I worked with back in Carolina Beach. There's quite a few here in the county. And then some folks have transitioned over to the city. So, you know, I don't fault anybody for trying to better themselves and go to a better work environment for them.
But if that, I mean, from a budgetary point of view, if that ends up being an issue, I feel like it is in the past been the will of the board to put up the money if the sheriff says this is what we need to keep deputies on the street.
I'm going to be in support of that. I'm going to listen. When you wake up in the morning and you strap a firearm on yourself and you go out and you know, you don't know that you're going to encounter someone that day that's shooting at you or is going to put you in danger, that's a tough job. I mean, you should be paid for it. And I don't know about you, Ben, but when I call 911 or if I got a burglar in my house or someone is attacking me, I want the police to show up. So you're not going to hear me argue too much with the police budget.
I think most people want the same thing. They do want a functioning law enforcement.
Same with the fire. Yeah. If your house is on fire, you want the fire truck to show up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, public safety, number one for me.
Speaking of public safety, you know, one of the things I have seen over the last 4 years in this insane housing market, and maybe it cooling off a little bit will get us back from this brink, but I know law enforcement agencies that have changed their regulations about how far you can take your patrol cruiser away from your jurisdiction because people simply can't afford
to live.
To live. I mean, I don't know how. I mean, you got Riceville Beach PD driving across the county, but
driving to Brunswick County.
Yeah,
to live.
Yeah, but if you drive through, I mean, I'm sure you've seen this. You drive through Leland, you drive through Hampstead, you see sheriff's office, you know, cars, and so that. I mean, that part of the housing the crisis.
Workforce housing.
Is I mean, you want teachers and nurses and law enforcement agents to be able to kind of live in the community that they're serving, right?
And you have to pay them more so they can do it.
Right. So the arguments have been, you know, the county has in the past taken kind of a multifaceted approach. On the one hand, trying to stimulate more development in the hopes of, you know, supply and demand, more supply or, you know, bringing the average cost down. I know not everyone is a huge fan of that approach, but it's $3 million a year so far. And we're going into year, I think it's three or four of a 5-year sort of pilot program.
Yeah, I think we're close to that, actually. See, I've been here. This is my third, going on my third year, so I think that may be another couple of years of that.
Yeah.
And that's going to end.
And that's going to end. I mean,
or not, depending on what we vote. But.
Right. I mean, is at this point, I mean, this is also a place I've heard that the endowment, obviously the endowment can't do everything. Because I know Dan Winslow will hear this and say, Ben, why did you say that? But is that a place where you think the county should keep investing? You know, $3 million is not nothing. It's not, again, it's not the whole budget, but it is a certain amount of money.
Maybe. I really have to think through that. I think so many new people every year come to us for more money because it's there.
Yeah.
You know. And to your point about the endowment, everybody says, oh, we can get money from the endowment. Mm-hmm. I mean, everybody I talk to, oh, we're going to go to the endowment. Well, the endowment can't fund everybody and everything, but they sure can help and do a lot of things. And, I mean, I don't know. We'll have to cross that bridge when we get to it. I'm just going to leave that out there. I have to see. I'd like to see the fruits of our labor. Let me just say that. I mean, we have invested in several projects that are in the process of getting online now. So I would like to see that. I know we've participated in some gap financing with certain affordable housing developments. So I'd like to see those come online and see how that affects the community. And to your point about the police officers driving across town or who, and you know because you see their cars, they drive their cars so that when they get in it, they're on duty. You know, if they're 5 miles away from getting to one of the beach towns or getting to the city, they're in their car and they get a call, they know they can go straight to it. So I agree with that program for them to take their cars home.
Oh, yeah. And I think it's helped a little bit with recruiting at least.
Absolutely. I mean, they have something to drive to and from work, and then they're on duty, and they're available. And it doesn't hurt to have police cars sitting in your neighborhood either.
Yeah, I agree with that. The other side of this housing issue that in some ways I think the endowment and the county and the city have all also tried to think about is if you can't make housing cheaper, you can give people more income to afford it. And so the county in various ways has tried with a couple of partners, economic development partners, to kind of raise the bar on what the employment options are here in Wilmington. You know very well this is a vacation town. I worked in the service industry here. I started at $6 an hour in 2003. Mm-hmm. I was actually able to rent half of an apartment in downtown Wilmington on $6 an hour. It was tight, but I was able to do it. I don't think you could pull that off anymore.
No. Well, it's an interesting point that you make there, and I see people say this all the time. We got to raise the minimum wage. It's $7.25. I don't know anybody who's paying that. I know. I mean, if they're out there, I have not heard of it. I mean, I can tell you that probably 5-6 years ago, we would pay housekeepers, you know, front desk staff $10-$12 an hour. Now you got to pay $15, or nobody's coming to work for you.
I will say there is a I won't name it, but people will know what I'm talking about. There's a pretty good burger joint down by the port that starts their dishwashers at something like $15 or $16 an hour.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And at the height of the quote unquote nobody wants to work anymore,
sure,
mm-hmm, issue, well, it turns out they did want to.
You mean
work.
That's gone, because I thought it was still here.
Oh, it's still here. I mean, but the staffing crisis for service industry didn't go away, but I think some people figured out a way to make it work. And you could pay a dishwasher who was going to show up every day and get the job done and not be an issue and not have to be replaced in 3 months, or you could try to cheap out and pay less. Right. And I think a lot of business owners figured out you get the workforce you pay for.
Exactly. And I've always said that people have a certain worth ethic. Doesn't matter how much you pay them, whether it's more or less or whatever, they have a worth ethic. And you get a good employee in there, you pay them.
Yeah.
You pay them and you treat them right and you incentivize them and you do the things to keep them. But I think in the service industry particularly, I think you're going to have to start them around 15. And I don't even know what the living wage is considered now. Was it 17 or, you know?
It depends if you're single or married.
Right, right, right.
But yeah, it's more than 725 for sure.
And so 725, when people bring up that point to me, I agree. It should that, but nobody's paying that because they can't get anybody to work for that. I wouldn't. You wouldn't. None of us would work for that.
Yeah. So I mean, I think the other part of that is that I know so, as you do, many people in the service industry who they see some of the great job opportunities that are in Wilmington, whether that's in healthcare, we've got that going on in fintech, we've got a lot of that developing mm-hmm. now, but it's hard to jump from one sector to the other. It's hard. Even if you get up to tell, even if you're like the general manager of a nice restaurant, it's mm-hmm. hard to jump from that to like Live Oak.
Right.
And one of the things I hear people ask for, and I don't know how much power the county has to do this, but is to help fill in some of those middle class jobs that would, instead of paying $30,000 a year, maybe pay $50,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
That's tough, but I know that is, you know, the county looks for opportunities to develop that kind of employer.
Well, and you and I talked about this in the past, that one of the ways that we can help some of our folks that are unsheltered is to give them higher paying jobs, get them educated and get them higher paying jobs. I'm not saying that's going to work for everybody, because I know that it won't. But I think the opportunities for better jobs are, like you and I just talked about, the Amazon facility that was that just yesterday? Yeah, just yesterday.
Listeners can't see it, but there's a very shiny gold shovel here.
There is a shiny gold shovel here, and I walked in with it, and I told Ben, and we got a collection going on in here because I see Project Grace beside it too, which is coming along great. But Amazon yesterday, 3.2 million square foot facility.
It's huge.
Going to employ 1,000, and I'm giving the plus or minus sign to Ben. That's what we're being told. And normal folks. These are not high-tech, you know, jobs. These are fulfillment centers, you know. So I think it's a great thing. It's going to employ our folks, and Amazon's a great company to work for.
Depending on who you ask, yes. Do we know what – I mean, you don't lose any points if you don't, but do you know what kind of salaries they're offering folks to work there?
No. I'm sure it's more than $7.25.
I would hope. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I know that, you know, the benefit packages and that a company like that offers is just great. I mean, I came from a world where I did not have medical insurance, did not have any kind of benefits. The only benefits that I had are the ones that I made for myself if there was any money left at the end of the week after I paid everybody.
Yes.
So I get it. I mean, and I want folks, you know, and I say that all the time sometimes to our county staff or people in hospital staff, you got a great benefits package, and that is a huge value.
I remember when Carolina Beach tried to get onto the county's benefits package because it was so good, and you had to send Tim Buckland to tell him no.
That's right. Didn't happen.
But it is, yeah, I mean, it is one of the reasons I know people really enjoy working at the county is that benefits package is incredible.
The county really does a good job taking care of its employees. I will say that. I'll tell you, I know folks, and this is a whole other thing that we don't have time for, but medical insurance is absolutely ridiculously priced. And if you have a company that's providing that for you, that is a huge asset. I mean, I know folks that are paying $1,000 or $1,200 or more than their family can afford just to have medical insurance, and it's strapping people, you know, financially. And I know folks that aren't retiring from their jobs because they're not 65 and they can't get Medicare. And I'm like, you know, it really just affects their whole quality of life because medical insurance is so expensive.
I agree. When people do the math and they look at what is, you know, what is causing them to be housing burdened, and people, these are people who are spending, you know, more than they should on paper on housing. I think if you took health insurance out of the equation for a lot of people, they'd be able to swing it.
Exactly. Yeah. And we all know about the Medicaid expansion that happened.
Knocking on wood, because we're hoping
Me too, because I know folks that are still waiting for that to come through, and how's that going to work? This first year.
Yeah.
So how's that going to be? I don't know the answer, but I think that is something that all people should have is medical insurance. It just makes us a healthier society.
So the last question I wanted to ask you about, because you brought this up, and I do hear a lot about this issue, is homelessness. And I think the county has done better in the last few years working with Wilmington. I think relationships were frosty for a while there. But, you know, where do you see the county's responsibility? Again, it's budget season, so financially, in helping to deal with that.
Well, let me say first, I hope you were as hard on my fellow commissioners that you've interviewed as you are on me, because these are some tough topics.
These are the toughest topics around.
And let me say, you know, I have traveled around the United States. I've traveled around the world, in Europe, other places. Homelessness is everywhere. And I think it's something that's very difficult to understand and to grasp. And I think we need to understand what gets a person there, what keeps a person there. I think there's a lot of, obviously, we all know there's some drug issues. There's a lot of mental health issues, which is something we talked about a little bit earlier. But how do we get those folks the services? I think it's very difficult in a city like Wilmington when there's so many homeless people around. And when you have an area that's not been developed, and you find out there's homeless encampment in it. I mean, and you and I talked about before we went on the air, I've seen some folks on the multi-use path, you know, just homeless. And this is not New York City. So, but I do see a lot more than I've ever seen before. And how do we enforce things, and how do we keep it clean and safe, but yet help those people at the same time? And I'm certainly open to that. I told you before we went on the air, and I'm not ashamed to say it, I'm not a fan of all the, I call it busking. I'm not a fan of all the folks standing around with, you know, with signs, and I'm just not a fan of that at all. I don't think it makes it a very good look for our city and for our county. But what is the answer? How do we get them off the street and get them the services that they need?
And who foots the bill? And I know it's not just the county having that conversation, and I've heard people suggest that, you know, perhaps our neighbors to the west and north in Pender and Brunswick County should be part of that conversation financially, instead of, you know, maybe just cheering us on from the sidelines.
Well, and I think and like in big cities like New York or Chicago, folks go to where their services.
Yeah.
And that, I think that is probably a lot of why people come to Wilmington. It's a beautiful place to live. It's a great climate and their services. So are we bringing in more homeless folks that we have to service, and that costs more money?
I have seen limited data on this. When we talk to people, it seems to be most of the people who are homeless in New Hanover County are from New Hanover County. But I think if homelessness is a part of the housing and employment crisis, which I think it is, I think it's fair to say, then maybe regional conversations are in order. Even if we're not talking about people who are coming over the bridge to be homeless in Wilmington from Brunswick County, I still think, you know, when I talk to advocates, they would be all about more regional collaborations on that front.
Right. Well, and something you and I talked about before we went on there is, you know, when I was hiring people, they would come in and they would be straight up. I don't have anywhere to live. Can I stay here? And I said, no, that's company policy. You can't do that. Well, so I have a car, I have transportation, I have my driver's license, I have a place to live. Or it would be the total opposite. They would come in and say, oh, yeah, no, I have a house, I have a place to live, but I don't have a way to get to work. It was almost always one or the other was the issue. Either it was the transportation or a place to live. And, of course, the folks that had transportation were living in their vehicles. And there's quite a few areas around Wilmington that, and I'm not going to name them, but that you can regularly see folks parked in their car, living out of their cars.
I've worked alongside people in kitchens who were who are dealing with
diabetes. I've seen it. And it's a lot of that industry.
It is hard. So, look, I don't expect you to have all the answers, but I am...
That's a tough one.
That is a tough one. But I do appreciate you sharing your thoughts. And again, I will remind folks that this is, you know, you guys are in the middle of these conversations, so you haven't had all of the budget meetings, haven't gotten all the info.
No, we have not. I think we've had three, and we have a couple more to go. We will have to have a balanced budget by the end of June, July 1st.
Because unlike the feds, you cannot deficit spend. You have to actually zero that out.
That's right. And like I was telling you earlier, we have a meeting with some school board folks and the superintendent right after this. And we really haven't seen their whole ask. We don't know what they need yet. And it's pretty scary. Even last year, we picked up, I don't know, what was it, $8 or $9 million extra. That's extra money. You know, so now what is it going to be this year? And we're talking about New Hanover High School. So there's just a lot going on there. But I think it's the place that the county has to invest in our schools.
Yeah.
And might we say, just for the folks out there listening, once we give that money to the schools, we don't control where it's spent. There's capital pot and there's an operational pot. But then that goes through the school board and that system. We just fund it. So trust me, there are times I would like to control where that money's going, but we don't have that authority.
Right, yeah. And I will note, you county staff put together it's fun for me. I don't know if it'd be fun for all listeners, but an online tool where you can actually go in and monkey around with these numbers. You know, you can increase or decrease the tax. Have you played with this?
The tax value?
Yeah.
Now, a little bit, not a whole lot. I will say this, just for the public one more time, that is a state mandate that we reevaluate, and it has to be done every 6-7 years, but we do it every 4 years. So that was quite a sticker shock for 4 years. I've heard some counties talk about not doing it for 6 or 7 years, but that would be huge.
Yeah, the law makes you do it every 8 years, and I think I don't actually remember when the county switched to 4, but I think the argument, and I think it's a pretty good argument, is that imagine the sticker shock if you had just been coasting along for 8 years.
Correct.
And then we went up from, you know, the 2017 values to current values. I think a lot of people would be...
Oh, it would be astronomical, because even at 4 years, that jump was difficult for people to understand. And I had some folks that said, well, you know, my property was, I don't know, $250, and now it's doubled, it's $500. And I'm like, but the average home price in New Hanover County is, what, 4-something? So, I mean, I think the reevaluations are pretty much... There may be some. I'm not going to say they're all 100%. But for the most part, they're on target. I've looked at my properties. I mean, I know what's sold around me. I've looked at some other things. And I think it's pretty close to being on target. I think what upsets people is having to pay more money.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I agree.
It's not the value.
Yeah.
I've had people say to me, well, if I could sell my house for the value that you, and I'm using quotations here, that you put on it, not me personally, that's what they say, the county. It's really, you know, like I said, a state mandate, that I'd sell my house. I said, well, you can get that for your house more than likely, but then where do you go?
Right, yeah, because you're still in the same market.
Because your equity is in your home.
Yes, yeah, that's true. So I would encourage people, though, the county gives you the opportunity to, you know, appeal online if you feel like it's out of whack. You got a whole team of people who are ready to receive those requests. I've known people who are going through the process right now. And
the best way to do that is online. I had some folks say to me, well, I went down there and I tried to do it in person. I said, do it online. That's the best way to do it. That way you know it gets done. I don't think in person. You can, I guess, do it in person, but online is the best way to do it.
So we'll have links to that, and we'll have links to the county's tax balancing interactive tool. Mm-hmm. So if you've paid your money, now you want to see where it goes. You can mess around with it.
So now I get to turn the tables on you, right?
Yeah. Yes,
so
you
where
do.
Do you think the tax rate should be?
That's a good question. I mean, the easy answer is just to say the adjusted revenue neutral. That, what did we say?
29 cents.
No. Adding Chris Goudreau's $68 million.
Yeah, Chris is at 36.
So 36 is the easy
which
answer?
Which is still a decrease.
It is a decrease.
A significant decrease.
That's the easy answer. You know, I've spent plenty of time going through county budgets and I know where most of the money is spent. I think if you really wanted to be a taskmaster, you could probably beat maybe 5% off of that, off of the overall expenditure. But I got to say, it is pretty hard. You go to most departments and you talk to people and you see what they do. it is relatively well put together. We've all worked for companies where there is dead weight.
Oh, sure.
The number of kitchens I've worked in where there's two guys just working their butts off.
And the other two on the phone?
And the other two on the phone are like, right. It's their eighth smoke break this hour. You know, dead weight is a real thing, but I don't see a ton of dead. I don't get to be in the county. You know, they don't let me like walk around the halls, but every time I get a chance to peek under the hood, I don't see a ton of waste. So I my honest answer is I don't know how much lower than 36 you mm-hmm. could get it. I'm sure you could find stuff. I think people would be appreciative of commissioners who do look under the hood and do see if there's redundancy or waste. But my honest opinion is I don't know how much more you could shave off what you have right now.
And that's going to be our job in this budget process, is how much can we shave? Now, we know they want 36, so can we shave more? And let me just say, what do you cut? And even look at our wonderful airports doing such a great job. You know, we have a big meeting tomorrow at the airport to have an update for between our authority, which I serve on, and on our commissioners, and doing great things. And, what do we do? You know, where do we cut things?
Yeah, I know last year, the budget negotiation took a while. It was the clock was running down, and I know there was a couple hundred thousand dollars left to cut, and I don't remember how it came about, but I think county manager said, we can take it from here, we can cut this last little bit. Mm-hmm. And as I understand it, one of the things that got cut or reduced was a program through the Senior Center for Dental Care. And I remember there was a backlash of people who were...
That should never be cut.
Who were really, you know, who depended on that program or were fans or the sure. or the parents depended on the program or the grandparents. And so I think one of the experiences elected officials have had that I have got to watch you guys have is it looks easy. And then you cut something and you realize you cut something that was really important to someone.
Well, and the dental thing goes right back into our conversation about medical insurance. I mean, even if you have medical, your dental's probably not any good.
Yeah, that's true.
So, I mean, and dental health, we all know, is essential to the overall health of a person, is their teeth and their dental health.
Yeah, if your teeth go, your brain's right next door.
Exactly.
It's not good.
So I don't want to cut the dental program.
Yeah. Well, anything else you would want to add before I get out of your office?
No, just thank you. I appreciate you coming down and accommodating, and I'd be happy to show you around. I'm going to go to our next meeting and see what we can do with the school.
All right, Commissioner Leon Pierce, thank you very much.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right. Well, that's it for today's show. Thank you to my guest, County Commissioner Leon Pierce. I'm Ben Shockman. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us for the next edition of The Newsroom.